I mean, that's the OG Hay song. I'll allow it. Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:37.
Actor Josh McDermott, he is Eugene, don't you know, on AMC's The Walking Dead, joins us later on this morning here on K-Rock, and another chance for you to win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2016 coming up. Ralph, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest, because I know you've been looking forward to this one all week.
I'm a huge fan of this next guest. There are filmmakers who maybe in their time aren't as appreciated as much as they should be.
Right.
And then after they're gone, the whole world wakes up and says, oh, this guy was a genius. Hitchcock comes to mind. Not appreciated, really, during his time while he was making films. In retrospect, everyone knows what a brilliant filmmaker
he was.
I'm
looking at the schedule. Are we doing something different?
No, we are not. We're talking to an auteur, a writer, director, a man who has created a body of work that will live on far beyond his own years. I'm talking about the legendary adult film director, Leroy Myers, ladies and gentlemen. Leroy Myers.
Leroy Myers.
I'm kind of like Hitchcock.
You are, sir, yes.
Leroy is the founder of WoodRocket.com, one of the most popular destinations on the internet for adult video content. You founded it back in 2012, but it says here that you made your first porn parody back in college, and I would be a terrible broadcaster if I didn't ask what that one was, Leroy.
It wasn't hardcore, but we had started when Naked News had started. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a great idea. So I got some friends together that didn't mind being naked, and we did something called The Young and the Topless.
Okay, Young and the Topless is a great start.
Soap opera, yeah. It was as good as it sounded.
I mean, it's no Sailor Poon.
Right?
What is?
For those who don't know, Leroy is the king of the porn parodies. Really, I fell in love with him, I think, initially, once I heard about 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, sure. Irresistible.
And then I went back and looked at the rest of his work, like Strokeyman and Nardians of the Galaxy. There is a long list of work that Leroy has put together. And I got to tell you, sir, you are really carrying the banner of the porn parody, which really is perhaps the best thing that porn has to offer.
Well, I appreciate it. I know there's probably some people masturbating now to something else who would have a different answer, but I appreciate it. I make what I funnier and gives them a reason to stay longer. So we have some fun and we pay homage to stuff and we add vaginas.
Now, I have to ask if this is information you're allowed to release. What has been the most popular of your movies on WoodRocket? I'm guessing it's Game of Bones just because that show is so popular, right?
It was really popular, but I would actually say 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles. It broke our server. So
wow. I mean, that's a tough argument right there. That's a tough one. Tough call.
So number-wise, I'd say that, but... you know, they all get their own audiences, and they all have their different fans and people who say we killed their childhoods. And we appreciate each and every one of them.
Do you ever get worried though about what the audience is, Leroy? For example, with SpongeBob SquareNuts, do you wonder who's actually dialing that one up? That would concern me.
You can't
be picky.
Go out and everybody's got
it's
their
art,
own
Ralph.
Fantasy.
It's art. You just create it and then you set it loose in the world.
Straight,
right.
It's art.
Now your name came up last week on the show, Leroy, when Ralph brought us news of Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers. This has been very popular for you at WoodRocket.com.
Yeah, absolutely. People seem to enjoy it. They don't seem to troll us. Quite
they
as
watch
much
it.
As the other stuff. Yeah, I think so. I think people are digging it, and
monthly payments, budgeting, that's what managing your life is all about. So it makes sense to trade higher payments for lower payments whenever you can. LoanMe has structured its offer to you with that in mind. Our payment slicer loan has monthly payments starting at $80 for a $7,500 unsecured loan. And the payment slicer offers loans up to $100K. You can swap and consolidate all your high payment debts for one lower monthly payment. LoanMe will even pay off your credit card, student loans, and personal loans directly, so you don't need to worry about a thing. The whole process takes about 5 minutes of your time, and boom, you slice your monthly nut by over half in many cases. So call 844-5-LOAN-ME for your payment slicer today.
Sample loan amount, $7,500. 180 payments of $80.14. APR of 12.22. Not all applicants will qualify for this rate. Loan approval and terms subject to credit standards. See LoanMe website for more details. Loans made pursuant to California Department of Business Oversight Finance Lender License Number 603-K061.
That's 844-5-LOAN-ME and slice your way to a cheaper budget today. That's 844-5-LOAN-ME.
We're proud of.
Oh, you know, your Pounder Rangers, you got Willie and you got Creamy and you got Sack. Was it tough to cast that pivotal role of Wimberly?
That was the most normal thing you've ever said.
This is the strangest conversation ever.
Oh, you should try being me.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Was it tough to cast Wimberly? Because that's such a crucial point in the movie. And I just wondered if you had a lot of actresses who were vying to play Wimberly.
I'm going to say yes, but actually we don't usually do auditions. We know who we're going to work with, and so there's no fist fights or anything.
In that way, you are like Orson Welles. You have your own little group of players that you use over and over again in your films.
Well, I'm like Orson Welles in that I'm a little overweight, but more than that. But yeah, we do use a lot of the same people.
You're just being modest right now. Look, Steven Spielberg won't admit he's the greatest. Other people have to say it, and you find yourself in the same position here this morning, Leroy.
I'm definitely not the greatest. I just I have a job I like to do, and everybody has fun, and we don't take it. You know, we do our jobs 120%, but we know what we do. We're not, you know, very fortunate.
Is any movie off limits for you? Is anything just sacred and you can't touch it?
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah,
really?
That would be hard, I think, to make a funny porn parody out of.
It's difficult. Yeah, more that it's difficult than, you know, Sacred Cow.
Okay. Although you made the human sexapede, so if you can make that work, you can make almost anything work.
That's true. I see your point. Touché.
All right, Leroy, before we go, I want to make sure I understand this correctly. You're currently screening the Mighty Morphin, the Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers on woodrocket.com for free. Is that right?
On woodrocket.com is free. All the porn, all of the Ask a Porn Star episodes, all of our parodies, all free.
Sounds like a bad business model.
Yeah.
Well, we should maybe make some money at doing this.
You should talk to a businessman.
Yeah.
You are doing the Lord's work. I know that sounds odd.
I'm not positive that's what he's doing.
If Jesus were alive,
okay. He's doing Tracy Lord's work.
Right. There you go. Boom. Leroy, congratulations on all your success at Wood Rocket. We're big fans. Thank you so much for joining us in the Kevin Beach Show today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. That is Blink 182. They are playing Night 1 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. That is Saturday, December 10th. Night 2 is Sunday, December 11th. All the details are at krock.com, and you can buy tickets Friday at noon if you're a street team member.
I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that Daryl is not being treated well on The Walking Dead right now.
Correct.
And last night, there was a song that was played outside Daryl's jail cell. It seemed to me like the deal was he was being tortured with it, and it was just on a loop.
Every time, just before he fell asleep, they would play it again like they torture prisoners.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was a song that I was unfamiliar with called Easy Street that really gets in your head. And that's why they chose it, is because it's an earworm. It's a song that you hear that melody, and even after it stops playing, it keeps playing between your ears. And there's a secret to the best pop songwriters. They have figured out a way to make those songs so hooky that you can sometimes hear them once and you can't get the melody out of your head. But once you've heard it all summer long, it never leaves you.
And you don't even have to like it.
You don't even have to like it. That's the amazing thing. It's not like you're thinking about this song because you love it and you can't wait to hear it again. It's because it just infects your brain. And Lady Gaga seems to be the best at this. She has a whole bunch of songs. Every time you see one of these surveys, and Ralph brought this news to us from Durham University in Britain a few days ago, and they just completed another survey with 3,000 people to try to figure out what songs have earworms and how do they put them together. Lady Gaga had several songs on that list, but this is the one that the researchers say officially is the biggest earworm of all time. You hear this song, I'm warning you now, you're going to be thinking about it all day long today. So we thought it would be fun to find out We thought it would be fun to find out what your earworm is. The song, like Kevin mentioned, even if you don't like it, it's the one that always just pops up out of nowhere, and you can't figure out, you can't believe that you're thinking about that song again because you don't want to.
I don't think Bad Romance would be my number one. I have a number one that I think will probably destroy all others.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Right? Oh. Now, look, I have nothing against that Disneyland or that ride, but that song,
man,
is the biggest earworm in the world for me. I can't stop singing it.
And it's part of it because we've all been to Disneyland and we all love Disneyland because it's the happiest place on earth. But it's 20 minutes of hearing that song on a continuous loop.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you are really just soaking in it.
But I only played you 8 seconds. You're going to be singing it all day. It's crazy.
Do you have another one?
I have another one. The top one there, Chip. This is an older song, but this is one that I can never get out of my head.
Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy.
Yeah.
But here's my number. Don't call me maybe.
And that's like, I'm not even a huge fan of that song. But since it came out, it tortures me. It will not leave me alone.
That is a great melody, though.
Right. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just not my type of music, but I can't get it out of my head.
We're going to take your calls. Look at the phones are already blowing up. 1-800-520-1067. What's your earworm, the song that you constantly think of, even though you wish you couldn't? Allie, you're up.
My first one is a great song that now is in my head forever. Okay. It is by Natasha Bedingfield. Well, it's more of the, I got a pocket full of sunshine. That whole thing, that pocket full of sunshine, over and over, we get it.
And so what happens? Are you driving down the road, not thinking about Natasha Bedingfield, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, it hits you?
I have a pocket. Yeah, it's not really that part, but yes, I've got a pocket full of sunshine.
Okay.
I'm angry. It's a lot. And the new one I have actually is just because of the World Series.
Okay.
I had never heard the song before. Now, whenever I see the word Cubs, I immediately say,
they're singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go.
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win. Go Cubs, go.
I've
never heard that song.
You didn't watch much baseball this year.
Correct.
They had Bill Murray with three members of the world champion Chicago Cubs with him on Saturday Night Live this weekend, and they sang that song, and the entire audience, presumably a lot of Yankees and Mets fans, by the way, just started singing along like crazy to that song. Like, it's so infectious. You're absolutely right, Allie. That's a great example of one. All right, I've got two earworms, too, and then we're going to get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 with the song you can't get out of your head. One has been in my head now for three solid months. I think about this song, I'm not joking, at least once a day, this hook goes through my brain. And it was since I saw it on the season opener, the series opener of Atlanta, that TV show on FX, and it's this song.
Paperboy, paperboy, always about that paperboy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, use a hater boy. Paperboy.
I just find myself, you know, I'm doing the dishes or something, or walking the dog, and I just all of a sudden, paperboy, paperboy, it just comes out of nowhere. I can't stop it.
Can I hear some more from you, please?
No, you can't. Again, I'm not. That's Donald Glover's brother singing that song, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
In case you're curious. All right, and the other one, and I apologize in advance if I'm going to stick this in your head, but it's out of all the hundreds of theme songs that DJ Omar Khan has done for us over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show, this is the one that I most often think of.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me what you, if you could, you would you take that back?
Yeah.
Would you like to take that back?
Yep, that one fits with you, doesn't it? Yep.
Tell me what you, if you could, you would you could, you take that back?
All right, let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. Which lines are good to go? Do you know?
Yeah, let's start with Romina. Romina in La Puente. Hi.
Hi. The song. Hold on. Let me just make sure you guys can hear me.
We can hear you.
Yeah, you sound good.
Second. My head is Hozier. Take me to church.
Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that
So, Romina, when that happens, are you mad about it or are you okay with it?
I guess I'm just tired of hearing the song. I have that song stuck in my head for like weeks at a time.
it doesn't help the situation when that song was so huge for so long. I mean, that was
everywhere. Every minute you flip that switch, it was on.
Yep. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Brent in Corona. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, talking about earworm songs that you can't get out of your head.
Firework by Katy Perry.
Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. Make them go
Yeah.
And it's so funny because that Katy Perry song, the Lady Gaga song, a lot of these pop songs that you hear on the radio a lot, they seem to have that formula, that cascading formula that makes that stick in your mind.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back with your calls. What's the earworm you can't get over? We'll be right back on K-Rock.
That's Kings of Leon, and they are playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
And they are a great live band, too. That's going to be a really, really fun show. Hey, we're talking about earworms. Ralph brought us a story a couple of days ago about a university in Britain that did a survey involving 3,000 people to try to figure out what it is about some songs, some melodies that get stuck in your brain. So we're taking your suggestions at 1-800-520-1067 if you've got one. For instance, Jordan writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. That's my song. We must have tortured him a few minutes ago with playing that. Rochelle writes in, Bean Loves Death theme song is mine.
Wow. Well,
Melissa, also on the Facebook page, mine is Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Yeah, you can totally see that. And I've got one, Kevin. I know you said you thought that It's a Small World was the greatest earworm of all time.
Correct.
But I would ask you to bow to my choice here.
1-877 Oh, God.
Right?
No.
I mean.
Oh, no. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
That's
pretty awful.
Isn't it?
That is
hellish.
Awful.
But is it a melody that you just can't get out of your head once you heard it?
Wow.
Yeah. That's the thing, you don't have to like it, and in most cases, you hate it. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Who's up first?
Let's start with Ani in Granada Hills. Hi.
Hi. So my earworm song is If You Steal My Sunshine, and I hate it.
Oh, a little old school.
I know that it's all for me.
You said you loved it or you hated it?
I hate it.
Hate it.
Well, then we just did you a big favor right there. Thank you for the call, honey. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to Brianna, who is calling from Diamond Bar. Hi.
Hi. It's Genghis Khan by Mike Snow.
I can live in Genghis Khan. I don't want you to get it all with nobody else but me.
Relationship been with that song? Did you like it at first and then not like it, or what?
No, I hate that song. One of my coworkers will surefire ruin my day if I walk into work, and I have to serve people for a living and bartend.
Oh,
and every person I talk to in my head, I'm just Genghis Khan. You'll ruin my day every time. It's the worst.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to line six. Let's talk to Coy in Huntington Beach. I think Coy and Ally McKay need to take a long road trip so they can listen to this song over and over and over again. Hey, Coy.
Hey, it's Ophelia.
Oh,
by Lumineers.
Oh, Ophelia, you've been on my mind, girl, since the flood.
That's all you need. It's going to be stuck in your head now.
Oh.
Yeah. Allie, you've had some problems with that one not getting out of your head, too, right?
I love it.
She loves it. Thank you for the call, Coy. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling us from Santa Barbara. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, hi.
What song gets stuck in your head?
Can't Get You Out of My Head, but...
That was one that the college looked at. The people who were doing the survey looked at that, and I think they put it at like number two or number three of the catchiest earworm of all time.
Did you say play it again?
I don't.
Stop. What? She said stop.
You're killing her.
Did you say what?
Oh.
I'm just having it with you. Thank you for calling, Lisa. We appreciate it. Let's go to Keenan. This is a strange choice. Hi, Keenan.
How are you this morning?
We are good. We're talking about earworms, the songs that get stuck in your head, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, Falco, Rock Me Amadeus.
Rock Me Amadeus.
No one's complaining. complaining about that, I hope. Like it or hate it, Keenan?
Oh, it's a little bit of both. It takes you back to the 8th.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Derek, who is calling us from Whittier. Hi, Derek.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. What song can't you get out of your head?
Man, I can't get J-Lo, Jenny from the Block, out of this.
Well, I don't even have that. I'm not going to play that. That's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. Sorry. Thank you, Derek, for the call.
Glad you went to it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Veronica, who is calling us from Claremont. Hey, Veronica.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
And girls. What song can't you get out of your head?
Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day.
Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
Yeah, that's
why don't we
song.
End on that, by the way, because if we're going to get a song stuck in our head, that's a good one to have.
That's not bad, yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. First, though, let's turn our attention to, let's make it New Zealand, because that's where the story happened. Kentucky Fried Chicken, which a few years ago changed their name to KFC, those sneaky bastards. And I think they did that because the thought was that people might not be interested in something that was fried anymore. Like, fried was out, so they said, let's call it KFC, and then nobody will know.
Yeah, I don't know that that is relevant.
Okay. Well, they're back in the news now because they're expanding their products. They're not just famous for chicken anymore. In fact, back in August, they released sunscreen. So you can put that on your suntan lotion on your body and smell like a fried chicken. And now they have a KFC candle.
Oof.
So your home can smell like the delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No. I mean, no.
Are you sure? I think I'm with Kevin.
Like KFC.
Love it.
If I wanted, I would get KFC.
Tasty.
I don't really need a candle to smell like
no.
that, because they never really smell like they're supposed to.
Well, I mean, this is an item. It's a thing.
Right.
Apparently, people are buying it. So let's find out. I lost all contact with the mothership here, Kevin. So you're going to have to tell me who's on the phone, please.
It's Arnold Grayson. I'm sorry, Brayson. I apologize, sir. From Candles, Candles, Candles.
Yes, that's my name. Thank you so much for correcting yourself and getting it right, don't you know?
Well, Mr. Brayson, we appreciate having you on. Candles, Candles, Candles sounds like a business that has something to do with candles.
It is. That's all we sell here at Candles, Candles, Candles.
I see.
We are the world's largest importer and exporter of aromatherapy candles, and I'm telling you, it's wonderful.
Okay. Now, this we got it right, though. This is a real thing that KFC is selling. You can make your home smell like fried chicken if you
Absolutely.
Use this candle.
Absolutely, yes. It's one of our biggest demand items. People are lining up to have their home smell like fried chicken because it's a comfort food, don't you know? And people need comfort these days.
That's your biggest seller, the KFC one.
It's just the beginning of a long line of brand and personality candles that are going to be sweeping the nation. And please go to Candles, Candles, Candles to buy your candle needs.
Okay. Well, look, you're the expert on this. What should we be looking forward to in 2017?
Some of the largest brands in the U.S. are getting into the candle business, don't
okay.
you know? For example, Budweiser is also releasing a candle. The Budweiser candle smells like stale beer and regret.
Oh. Doesn't sound great.
You can have that in your home. Chipotle, another fast food chain, they're releasing a candle. Smells like salsa and salmonella. Put that in your home. The Samsung 7 candle smells like burning pants.
Oh, no.
Get that if you want. Pampers has a new candle out.
No.
It starts out smelling lovely.
Nope.
And then later on in the day, not so much.
Nope.
Oh, Arnold.
You want to change that candle out every once in a while.
Yeah.
Along those lines, Jockey Underwear now has a new candle, and it has two wicks. The smell in the front is very different from the smell in the back.
Oh, Arnold.
She's disappointed with you, Arnold.
That's a disappointment in her voice.
The front wick, when you light it, smells, well, they call it New York City Subway. That's that smell. And the back is a scent they call Skid Mark. I don't know what it is, but those are the two smells.
No.
And, you know, personality celebrities are also releasing their own candles, just like the perfumes that they sell. Now they'll each have their own special candle.
Oh.
The Donald Trump Make Candles Great Again candle.
Okay.
It smells like spray tan and bullcrap. You can get that. The Taylor Swift candle, she's got one.
Okay.
Initially, it smells like cotton candy, but there's undertones of arsenic and lies in there. And, of course, another big seller is the Lindsay Lohan candle.
Oh.
Smells like cocaine and clams.
About this time every year, we, like most people, look back on the year that was, and in our program, that generally means celebrating failure. That's why we have things like, you know, the top 10 moments with, for instance, that we did a couple of days ago. And I guess we're looking at failure again today, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is the first year that we started highlighting Mr. Bad Example. Because Bean tries to help. I really think he's trying to help explain things, but every time he gives an example, it's horrible.
Yes.
So this is the top 15. I couldn't even narrow it
down. Come on.
I couldn't even narrow it. It's not possible.
Wow.
Come on.
They're
all
like
gold.
The Academy. You had to add extra members, extra nominees to the category.
Here we go.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
I feel like you're exaggerating a little bit how bad my examples are.
Oh,
do you?
Really?
No. I do.
Do you?
I really
we'll
do.
See. I guess we'll see about that.
I mean, they don't always land, but I'm certainly trying to make whatever we're talking about clearer for the audience.
Well, I gave you credit for that already.
Yeah.
You're trying, but you're failing.
Trying.
All right.
This is the first one. Because lots of people, there are lots of videos on YouTube of people pulling out their kids' teeth with doors, with cars, with guns, with everything. I think that's kind of an interesting and fun way to go.
I'd like to see the video of the family that's pulling out their kid's tooth with a gun.
With a gun.
Please send me the link to the shooting the tooth out with a gun video.
I'm just saying there are lots of different ways that people are doing it. I thought it was interesting.
Is with the gun one of them?
I'm for sure about the door and the car.
But the gun,
I'm not 100%
on the gun. You gave three examples. One of them was a gun.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Didn't you ever see the one where they tied a string to the bullet? And then the other end of the string to the kid's tooth, and then they shoot the bullet?
We were talking to Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, about his beard.
What do you like about having a beard? Are we hiding a fat face, or what are we doing with the beard?
Oh, absolutely.
Because some people just think, hey, look how cool I look like Abraham Lincoln if I've got a beard. You know, some people think that you know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I did rock a chin strap for a long time, way longer than I should have.
Hold, please. Who thinks, hey, I look like Abraham Lincoln?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is he not one of the most famous people in the history of the world?
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln? Copying his style sense in the 21st century.
He's a good-looking dude.
Is that why I see all those stovepipe hats going down the street every day? You dumbass.
So you're suggesting...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I see. All right.
Talking about robot maids.
Didn't realize that's what was happening. I just thought you picked Scarlett Johansson because she's pretty. It'd be fun to have around the house because, you know, you'd rather look at her than Morgan Freeman. But I didn't think it was anything more than that.
Why? You're so dumb.
Weird pull, Bean.
First of all, why would I have Morgan Freeman in my house?
No, but I'm just saying you could have made the robot look like anybody.
I want to have robot Morgan Freeman in my house.
Right?
He's just sitting around saying, now it's time to get your coffee.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I stand by that one, buddy.
What?
Because if you can choose any option,
it's Scarlett Johansson or someone's going to make a robot. Morgan Freeman.
Any celebrity to make a robot out of, then I just pick two different celebrities.
Hey, Bean, this is not Would You Like to Take That Back?
No, I see.
Where you get a choice. This is just us making fun of you.
You're just a bad example.
We were talking about a girl who showed up at a wedding in a white dress and how bad that was. The story is she wore a white dress to a wedding.
I did hear that.
Boom.
Part. I did hear
that's
that.
That's it.
Part.
That's the facts, Jack.
Right. But for all I know, it was a patriotic themed wedding, and the girl next to her was wearing red. The girl on the other side was wearing blue.
One of those patriotic themed weddings.
I'm just saying. I'm saying there may be another reasonable explanation that has not yet.
Did you say that was a reasonable explanation?
Well, I'm just throwing it out
another
there.
Another one of those patriotic themed weddings.
Just throw it out there as an example of something that.
And another happen. Great example too, by the way.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, the flag weddings. I'm so tired of the flag weddings. Where they arrange all the guests in their chairs to make out the old stars and stripes.
You don't know, man.
One week, Allie took Wednesday and Thursday off. Was sick Wednesday and Thursday, but then came back Friday.
Why'd you come back, Allie? You were over the wall.
Oh, I know.
You had your shot. You're free as a bird.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
You don't reverse in the tunnel and climb back into the prison.
Right? What the hell?
What's happening?
Not cool. He's Mr. Bad Example.
What the
hell? Reverse in the tunnel.
And go back into the prison.
can't climb back into the prison.
It sounds like I lost confidence in that one halfway through.
And you should have.
A lot of ground to cover, I know.
There's love's in the air.
Yeah.
And it's in the sand, and it's in the dirt. It's in a gravel road. It's everywhere on that shelf.
It's in the back of somebody's swimsuit.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Why in the back of somebody's
Why
swimsuit?
Love in the back of somebody's swimsuit.
Why? I thought we were talking about sand. Weren't we talking about sand?
No, we're talking
about love.
Oh, I must have misheard. Sorry.
Yeah. There was a woman who was scamming men, and Bean's theory is that she had a lot of men that she was scamming.
Another theory is just that it was never a relationship, and she's got 100 guys just like this all over the world, and she's probably just scamming, trying to get them to send money or jewels or presents or whatever,
yep,
you know,
jewels.
Like the ladies do.
A lot of times I'm like, hey, will you send me a bobble?
Right, exactly.
I need some jewels.
Yeah. He's Mr. Bad Example.
Send me a loose precious stone, won't you?
Look, I don't remember that specific story, but was this someone pretending to, like, have a romantic relationship? Well, because you might ask for jewelry if you're pretending to be somebody's girlfriend.
Jewelry, but no one's asking for jewels. Only pirates go into a chest to find jewels.
All right, we got to be out of time.
Sometimes
here.
I like playing the sexy music where it's inappropriate, but Bean was trying to explain to people, and I think the example he used was pretty poor.
Sometimes Kevin feels like he has to make a non-sexy thing sexy, and this is how he does it.
Sometimes.
Not. What are you talking about, Bean? You don't know anything, man.
We'll be talking about, Ali and I'll be having a serious conversation about chemotherapy or something, and Kevin will be like, ooh, it's going to be sexy. So sexy with your bald head.
That's a terrible example.
I'm just saying,
that's, stop doing it.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I don't believe I've ever used that during the chemotherapy.
Kevin, you're always breaking out your big chemo chunk when people are trying to have a serious conversation.
I'm not positive why you were doing an impression of Michael McDonald, his birthday or something. I can't remember.
No, because the guy who wrote the smash hit song Sweet Freedom
passed
away.
Gotcha. Rod Temperton.
So I launched into my impression of Michael McDonald, who sang that song.
Which is almost spot on. So everybody then knows exactly what he sounds like when he sings.
And then became sort of an epidemic. I lost control of myself.
Minute by minute by minute by minute, I'll keep going on.
He did have one of the weirdest lead voices
very
ever.
Strange. Yeah.
It's like what Fog would sound like if it could sing.
Mr. Bad Example.
No, that's not bad.
It's what Fog would sound like if it could
sing.
Yeah,
because
I'm going to have to spend
thick.
Some time with that one. I'm not positive that I can work that
It's kind of thick and dense and kind of hard to make it through. No?
Okay.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
It's hard to make it through his voice. Sometimes I get so stuck in Michael McDonald's voice, I can't even move.
And again, Ralph already did the voice. So now Bean's trying to explain to people what it sounds like for people that didn't, I guess,
which
just
you think,
hear...
Which one was clearer? My spot-on impression of Michael McDonald? Or it's like what Fog would sound like if it could sing? Which crystallized things at home for people?
All right, we're out of time here, but I have a top five.
Well,
oh, no, there can't be more.
Come on. Take a short
Let's take a break
and come back with more.
How dare you?
And we will come back with...
Quick reminder, if you're a Metallica fan, they are going to be performing on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. And like Jimmy does on the show, he has them play a couple of songs on the TV, but then they play some more for the people who are there in the crowd. And that is an invite only. You cannot buy tickets to see that. But if you're a fan of Metallica like we are, stick around. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We are doing...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
The best of the year. It's hard to narrow it down to 10, so we got to 15.
Does it make you sad to think that we didn't start this feature until this year? So there's thousands of bad examples that never got the due they deserve.
I don't know, though. I feel like you stepped it up this year.
Yeah,
with the bad
examples.
We were talking about a guy whose heart stopped 40 times during surgery.
The heart stopped and worked again in short periods of 20 to 30 seconds. This is like banging on a light bulb that keeps going off. Just trying to get it to go back on.
It's a little more complex than that.
I don't know. It sounds like that's exactly what it is.
We took the heart in our hands and continued massaging it. It just goes on and on 40 times.
Who bangs on a light bulb?
Is that not a thing?
No.
Maybe you unscrew it a little, screw back in, but you don't bang on it, ever.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Why is this light not going on?
Guys, I've done that my whole life. try to make the light work.
Well, you're dumb.
We were talking about trick-or-treating and what time is appropriate for you to show up to trick-or-treat. How late can you go?
You don't show up at 10 minutes to 9.
No,
that's
no,
well
no.
past
no,
the acceptable
absolutely.
Time 7:30 for
trick-or-treat. 7:30 is the limit.
7:30? No, for reals, though. Certainly by 8 o'clock, the kids should be done. Because
really?
It's supposed to be for little kids.
Right.
It's not supposed to be for teenagers who are out, you know, joyriding.
But these are mid-20s that came in.
Them with all their ding dong ditchery.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is dry running? That's not a thing.
No,
either.
No.
The one on Halloween.
Potsy and no. Richie and Ralph Mouth. They always go joy riding down to Arnold's to see what Fonzie's up to.
Bean sometimes likes to somehow give us an example of how quickly Christmas is coming.
We're definitely on. We're definitely sledding down the hill right now toward Christmas. We can't avoid it.
And Christmas is at the bottom of the hill.
I think so.
Yep. Just waiting for us down there.
Why are we at the top of the mountain if Christmas is at the bottom?
I'm not sure. I maybe didn't think that one through very
well. Really? What a surprise.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look, I get no points for at least a winter analogy that I
no.
tried to make sense
no.
for the holiday season. No.
Wait, listen,
really, if you're going to do one of those, let me see. What could you have said? Oh, like a snowball rolling downhill? Like that one that everyone uses and knows exactly what it means?
But we're in a sled next to the snowball,
right? Right. Right. Here's the thing. When you say Christmas is coming really quickly, everyone understands that. You
got
don't
it.
Even need an example.
We don't need a sled or a mountain.
If we were doing a game and the listener...
How many of these are there?
There's three more. You'll be happy to know. We were doing a game and the listener answered Ralph's question before he was even finished asking it.
She was a...
Miss Marvel.
There you go, Miss
wow.
Marvel.
Wow.
Well done.
Damn, Daniel.
No time for our nonsense.
Let's got a train to catch or something.
You are going.
Let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Richard.
Got a train to catch.
Or something. Just saying, busy man. Got to move on.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, nobody ever has to hurry to catch a train.
He's got a train to catch.
He has to get down to the depot. He's got to get that molasses one still on sale at the general store.
Come on. You
now,
guys.
Do you remember the Scarlett Johansson one that we
Morgan
played
Freeman,
already earlier
sure.
uh-huh. with
Forget
Morgan Freeman?
The sex robot talk.
So now we're talking to a guest, and Bean is recreating that and telling the story again with even a worse celebrity.
He adopted a trial and error method in which he encountered obstacles ranging from frequent burnt out electric motors to the robot losing its balance and toppling over. When you look
he
at everything together.
He was wearing that out.
When you look at everything together,
oh God.
It was really difficult. He had to teach himself electromechanics and programming along the way and learn how to fit the robot's external skin over its components. Why aren't you guys impressed? Why does it have to be dirty?
Well, that's the reason you're bringing it up.
No, it's not at all.
100% the reason you're bringing
absolutely
it up.
Absolutely not. I would be doing this story if they built a robot that looked like... I don't
Wait
know why
it?
The
no go ahead.
I don't know why the first celebrity name of
these are always the best. Go ahead.
Any other celebrity in the world, if he built a robot that looked like Flip Wilson, I would have said the same thing. I don't know why I would have thought of late comedian Flip Wilson.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Wow.
I can't explain that one.
Wow.
Finally. Hasn't he been dead like 20 years, Ralph?
Better than that. Better than that.
And finally.
And by the way, when he was alive,
no one
really knew.
Oh my God.
Not a big star. Not a real big star.
Flip Wilson.
That one really hurt you guys.
That would sure have hurt.
I'm sorry I said that. I wish I had pulled a better name.
That is the strangest name that anyone has ever said on our show. All right, and finally, number one was the OG. It was the original.
Thank God.
This is the one that got us started on Mr. Bad Example.
You know that there are people who have bought elaborate crystal sets or whatever and dropped them down an elevator shaft. I don't know why I just thought of those two things
together. Wait. Time out. What happened to that guy again?
He bought a very expensive set of crystals.
Crystal, right? Then what happened with the crystal?
He dropped it on an elevator shaft and shattered it all.
That happens
wow.
so often.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
After that one is when we started a file after that. We were like, just let's rack them up.
I've gone through so many crystal sets that way. Why did they leave those elevator shafts wide open?
Sons of bitches. You do good work, Bean. You keep it up.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Hey!
Nope. Again. Nope, not appropriate.
Maybe we should have a conversation off the air, and we should all agree on like a song.
Well, yeah. I just feel like Kip is 0 for 1,000 on the haze lately. That's
she's
all.
Consistent.
That's your opinion, man.
She feels like she's nailing it.
Travis Barker's got some Blink 182 news for us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. The great Adam Carolla will join us, and next hour Henry Rollins will be here. I know you're going to be okay, Allie.
Right? Okay.
I know that we all love the TV, and sometimes it's hard to understand why shows get canceled and why shows don't get picked up. And, Allie, you've had some Nashville feelings lately as a result of that cancellation, I know.
Yeah.
A lot of people very upset, as am I, by the way, about Agent Carter being canceled by ABC. In fact, there's a petition with tens of thousands of signatures on it right now to try to get Netflix to pick up and start making Agent Carter, which I think would be great. But here's a real head-scratcher for you. Our friend Sarah Shahi, who we love so much, she's such a nice lady and a terrific actress. She's one of the stars of Person of Interest. She was supposed to star in a new series on CBS based on the old Nancy Drew books. It was called Drew. So she's playing a female detective, right? So apparently they made a pilot and the show tested well, but the network decided to not put it on the schedule in the fall because it, quote, skewed too female.
Huh.
Now, what's that about? We got lots of people. Lots of people saw the show and liked the show, but too many of them are women. Well, don't you want anyone to watch your network? What's wrong with having a bunch of women watching a TV show? I don't understand why that's a I get it if people didn't like it, but if a lot of people liked it, even if they're women, what does it matter?
Maybe a lot of their programming is aimed at men, and that's what they.
Then you
what?
Think you'd be delighted to
Absolutely.
Have something that brings
Whole
ladies
new
in.
Audience.
Yeah.
Whole new
so
audience.
We wanted to find out more about this, and it's a very curious thing with CBS. So we asked Dave if there's somebody he could line up for us. And in the programming department, the vice president of CBS programming is Brick Rockhard, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Rockhard.
Hey, dudes. What's up?
well,
I'm great. How are you? I'm so swole this morning.
Right.
Are you? I'm pumped and huge. Already got a workout in. It's arm and chest day.
Hey, dude,
you with me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? So you're a vice president of programming for CBS Television Network.
That's right.
Okay. Very popular network, the number one network on television.
Damn right, we're number one. We're number one. Beer pong!
Right. So what can you tell us about our friend Sarah Shahi and her show?
Don't get me started on that thing.
What do you mean?
Nancy Drew.
Right, yeah. Right.
Blah.
Very popular book series for many decades
for
with
chicks.
Millions of fans.
For chicks, for millions of chicks.
And what's wrong with that?
Right?
No, I'm saying what is wrong with that?
Yeah, chicks.
No, what I'm saying is that would bring a lot of female viewers to your network. Wouldn't you want that?
Like when they're watching television. Too busy sewing.
We do. Whoa, sewing. Really?
You're the worst.
They sew.
But, Mr. Rocco.
Laundry.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Oh, who needs female shows on television? Blah,
my
right?
point
Who's
is,
with me?
But women have jobs, and they have money, and they have
right?
spending power, and
I
they
know.
Make a lot of decisions
I
about
can't
things.
Fix that.
No, but I'm saying that's how it is, and that's fine. Why not reach those ladies with your advertisements?
Because they're too female. We found out of our research that women are very female.
What does that mean?
What right? does that mean?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking, what does that mean?
It means it's very female.
Right.
Right.
So we did this show, right, Nancy Drew, and we had, like, it's about a woman. Uh-huh. And we put a woman in the lead.
Right.
And we watched her, like, dude, this is so female.
Right. Okay. Right.
Right.
So me and the other dudes in programming got together and said, no, we're not going to put that on the air.
Huh. Are you really a vice president of programming at CBS?
That's right, dude.
But what about a Supergirl? Now, that has a female lead, and that's on CBS. Oh, that's
gone.
Right. I forgot you canceled that, too. I forgot you said that to the CW.
Right?
Well, you've got Mom. You've got The Good Wife. Yeah. Those are both female.
We're changing all that. CBS is revamping their entire schedule to reflect dudes.
Okay. Is that right?
We don't want anything to be too female, so we're taking everything. We're rebooting it all.
Okay.
Like, what do you mean?
Our new comedy, Two Broke Dudes.
Oh,
about two dudes who work at a diner. They're such dudes.
That's Two Broke Girls. You just replaced them with dudes.
Right? It's awesome.
No.
Another comedy, Big Banging Your Sister Theory.
Oh, no. Man.
Okay. No.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That doesn't sound awesome.
The new comedy, Mom is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich.
I hate you, Brick.
Our new drama, The Good Wife is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich. We got CSI coming back.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. All right.
CSI Balls.
Oh. Who wants that?
Dudes.
Nope.
Dudes. Dudes.
Okay.
Who fight crime.
With their balls.
Is that a person of interest? Penis
yes.
of interest.
Penis of interest?
Yeah, it's about a guy's got a machine that can tell you where chicks are going to be in the future. And you show up there, you got a penis. Right, dudes? Right.
This is awfully duty.
Look, we're aware there's a lot of other networks that have success with female-based shows.
Uh-huh. Right.
So we're taking those shows, and we're going to dude them up. All their hits, we're taking them, we're going to dude them up.
Wait, you're remaking other network shows now?
Yeah, like Jane the Virgin, but not for long. Right? That's our new show. You know Empire?
Yes.
Sure, of course.
How about Himpire?
Well, that's not even a thing.
Right? It is a thing. It's about a bunch of dudes who run a record label, and all their songs are like Motley Crue and like Poison.
Right.
Dudes!
Good examples, Brick.
You know that show Scandal?
Yeah, of course. Very popular, yes.
Oh, this fall on CBS, it's Mandel. It's about a male president who gets a guy to help him fix things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mandel.
He's not happy about that one.
We got How to Commit Murder.
Uh-huh.
Because your girlfriend won't shut up during the football game.
I'm not positive you want to do that.
Dudes?
No, not right.
And then instead of Grey's Anatomy... We have Gay's Anatomy.
A lot of dudes?
What's more dude than dudes doing other dudes? Dudes!
Right, okay. A couple of months ago, we had legendary sports announcer Joe Buck in studio talking about his show on the Audience Network, and he said, hey, I got a book coming out, and we said, please come back, and he said, I will. And I thought, well, that's the last we'll ever see a Buck. But sure enough,
that's
ladies
the way it
and
works.
Gentlemen, here he is.
No,
Joe Buck.
I didn't think the offer would come. So thank you. It kind of validates my first visit.
The book is called Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV. And it is just out now wherever books are sold. The reaction, by the way, has been very positive, this book, Joe. And I know that you're a self-deprecating kind of guy, but, I mean, that must make you feel pretty good to say that people are going, yeah, I like it.
No, I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. And there's a lot in there about my relationship with my dad and the death of my dad and kind of his time in intensive care, and then obviously my career and the whole hair plug thing. And you know, I shouldn't assume that you know what that is, but I
would like you to describe the hair plug thing. Okay. Because that's a fascinating story.
Yeah, I kind of got hooked on getting hair plug hair restoration, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
And I went in, and I the first six of them over a course of I would say 8 or 9 years, I did it locally, which is like akin to torture. Where
I can't imagine the pain.
It's so bad.
What does that mean, though?
It means you're
feeling...
You didn't
get put under.
I didn't get put under, so it was a local. So they're putting needles in the back of your head to numb it up.
Oh, that's bad.
And I can only tell you the noise that a needle makes inside your head.
Geez.
And
no.
You can actually hear the Novocaine coming out of the head of the needle inside your head.
Okay, so that happened once. Why did it happen a second time?
No, that happened six times.
Right, why did it happen a second
time? Okay, good point.
why did you go in and say, not doing that again?
Most people learn from torture and
no,
go back.
I know, I signed up for it six times. I guess... vanity would be the answer to that.
Now, let me stop you right there, Joe, because I was wondering about this. In 2016, is it just vanity, or was there some pressure on you because you were the public face of the network to have a certain look? Or did anyone ever come to you and say,
yes,
dude, you got to get some hair?
Yes.
Really?
At one point, my boss came up to me and said, if you keep... I'm doing an Australian accent, so I'm outing who he is. But he said, if you keep losing hair, I'm going to have to get rid of you.
That's
F you, Rupert.
That's insane.
It wasn't Rupert. Oh. Rupert doesn't even know I work at Fox. So let's, it's not him. So
that was said for reals or as a joke?
I think it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but right. I think anytime you have that said to you, there's that voice that goes, you better get some flipping hair.
I feel like if you're on TV, that seems to just be a given.
That's ridiculous. Yes or no? That's insane, though. You hire the best person for the job, the person who's best
prepared. Aren't you new to how television works, Bean?
All right, so Bradshaw, he's grandfathered in. He's allowed to have no hair because of all the Super Bowls.
He's just straight crazy, so he can get away with it.
And that, you know, yes. And we would be nowhere without Terry and his bald head. But for me, look, I have a huge head. It's massive. I need some cover. I did America a favor by putting some hair on this head.
Right.
So anyway, by the eighth and final time I had it, I went under, and they put the tube down your throat. It didn't have to be for hair surgery. It could have been for a knee or a hip or whatever. And the tube they put down my throat sat on the nerve.
Oh, no.
It fires my left vocal cord. Wow. So I came out like this. And I had one vocal cord that worked, and the other one was laying there. And what happens is when you have an open airway, you can't keep your breath. So I did 9 months broadcasting that way.
Really?
Thinking my career was over, going into depression, going through divorce at the time, dealing with my daughters and all that. And it was that's what made me write a book at the age of 37.
Now, how much work is writing a book?
It was a fun process because I brought in a guy, Michael Rosenberg from Sports Illustrated, and after I wrote the first chunk, which involved the hair and losing the voice and divorce and all that, he then came and sat in my house and interviewed me like he did for Sports Illustrated years ago. And when he did that and I read the piece, I thought, this guy gets me, and I'm going to bring him in. I had sent him the part of my book. He said, you really have something here. I think this could be a great book. And
rewrite it, and then
I said,
all good.
Let's tighten it up. Yeah, exactly. Take what I have and throw it away, and let's start over. But he would interview me, and he would just send the tape to a transcriber, and my words just came out on the page. It was kind of crazy the way the whole process
went.
That's
cool. The book is out now, as I mentioned. It's available everywhere books are sold. Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV. That seems to be a theme in the book, is that you do consider yourself a very lucky person, Joe.
I am. I mean, I'm my dad's son. I'm as much my mom's son. I am a bastard, by the way. My dad was married with 6 kids when he met my mom.
Okay.
And doing the math,
so literal bastard.
Yeah.
Okay.
My parents were married for like 17 minutes before I was born.
Okay.
But, you know, part of the book is dealing with the other kids and dropping off I used to go with my dad to drop off the alimony check at 5 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
Walking into a house filled with other kids who hated me for good reason.
Because their father left them for your mom.
And I'm looking at these kids like, why do these people want to see me dead?
Why did your dad send you in with the check?
I think I was the peacemaker. I think he knew that if I, you know, little chubby Joey walked in with the check taped to his forehead. Now, he was there.
Taped to his forehead.
Yeah, that there would be no pots or pans being thrown. So
that's so sad.
I know. I look back, I'm like, why in the hell did he make me
pots
go?
Pots and pans being thrown is horrible, but so is making your 5-year-old walk into that.
Yeah.
To a house that everybody hates.
That bastard.
That bastard.
But your dad pretty much took you everywhere, right? I mean, I feel like you kind of grew up on your dad's knee, if he was in a bar or if he was in the booth. You
I
were
did.
Him.
Yeah, until I got Husky. And I used to shop in the Husky section. And the whole...
Describe Husky for us, would you?
Husky is like the walk of shame. It's when you're 10 and you want to buy jeans. And they're like, young man, we don't have your size in this section. But over there... there's a spot where you can actually buy some jeans that will fit your fat ass.
How long were you Husky?
Till I was about 27,
oh,
26.
Wow. You did 16 the time.
Years?
Oh, yeah. I was a fat kid. If I ate like I wanted to eat, I'm programmed to weigh 310.
That's dedication to
that
fat.
Is. Right there.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to work to be fat.
Right. I mean,
you
got to
maintain a caloric limit and hit
and
it.
And there has
every
to be
day.
A voice inside saying,
you
stop
gotta
it.
You've got to eat. Well, but then there's a voice that says,
that's louder.
There's a guy in my book who told me two things. We went to lunch, and he's my confidant. And he said, I'm going to tell you two things. You can punch me in the face if you want to. But one, you need to lose 25 pounds. like, okay, I'm not going to punch you for that.
And that was TV advice he was giving
you? It was TV. Okay. He said nobody on TV wants to look at a fat guy.
Okay.
Two, you need to look into hair plugs. And I said, well, I've already gotten two rounds of it. I went to Joe Torre for hair plug advice, which is like going to Lenny Dykstra for, you know, financial planning. But I went. I had already been there. And then I continued it on. And so, you know, irony of all ironies, I go in to fix my stupid head and my hair, and I come out unable to talk.
Your voice stops working. Wow. Are you done with the hair nonsense now, Joe?
Yeah, but I would probably do it again under local anesthetic and go through that again. But here's the thing.
That's the part you hated the most.
It's awful, but okay. If I got to keep up with the receding troops here. I gotta keep it up. Once you dive in, you've seen the people who've had hair plug surgery who got it once and it looked like the doctor left mid operation.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
Like, wow, that hair's coming out of nowhere.
In the history of hair plugs, and toupees and everything else, doesn't Elton John have the craziest patchwork if you look back on photos year to year? His hair and Shatner too, by the way, those two have been everywhere. They've all kinds of different hair throughout the year.
You're going to think I'm nuts, but, Bean, I look at that stuff online all the time.
Wow,
I track. But
because you're afraid it might happen?
No, because I think anybody, and there are people listening to the show right now who are losing their hair or have lost their hair or strap on a toupee or whatever they do that know what I'm talking about. When you've gone through hair loss, I check out everybody's hairline when I walk into a room. And
this makes me really sad, Joe. This makes me really, really sad.
I'm not saying I'm perfect.
It makes me wonder what you think about us.
No, it's the least interesting thing about you.
I think you're doing great.
You know what I mean?
I think you're fine. You're good enough, Kevin.
Thank you. You're strong enough.
Hey, Joe,
let me ask you one more early years question before we have to take a break and come back with part two. And that is, you and John Hamm have been friends since when?
Since high school, like middle school.
Just because you guys were classmates? You just quit?
No, we weren't even classmates. My best friend in high school, his little sister dated John Hamm in high school.
She's so lucky.
In early high school, but it gets better because I was around John. Now, John lost his parents really early, so he kind of grew up in that house. So whenever I'd come
see
him.
Was that your dad's fault too, by the way?
It was.
His parents?
Yeah, okay. It was. And wait till John's book comes out. Lucky bastard also. So then this same friend who kind of introduced me roundabout way to John goes to KU, and his college roommate is Paul Rudd. So Rudd also dated my friend's sister later.
How hot is she?
No,
she's pretty hot. She's hot. She was in 24. She's in the Twilight movies.
Okay.
Her name's Sarah Clark. And so you talk about a good casting agent.
No kidding.
So when you're friends with John Hamm, is he at 15, is he everything he is today? I mean, was he already
Yes. No, he was in a way, you always knew he was. You know, even though he's a year or two younger than I am, you always knew I wanted to punch him just because he had everything. He had
everything.
The looks. He was smart. He's really smart. He's really funny.
So funny.
And he's got a memory. He and my sister are really good friends. They used to drive together back to Columbia when he was going to Missouri. And my sister was going there then. And he remembers, he's one of those people that remembers what outfit he was wearing to the concert on the date with the person.
He's the exact opposite me in every single way possible.
Did you know, Joe, that he would end up being a star at something?
I was shocked that of the two of them, Rudd just took off, and God love him. Paul Rudd is the nicest person
of all time.
Yeah,
he seems like
it. And, I mean, that's legitimately that guy.
Agreed.
How nice he is. And he's not changed one bit. But he's going nuts, and Hamm is over here struggling.
But that's because Hamm's a dick, right?
Yeah, Hamm's a total dick.
Oh, he's not.
No, he's not. Actually, he did a book event with me in St. Louis. We had 1,000 people there.
Wow.
And he sat there next to me and signed an autograph on my book next to my, and that's, people went nuts for it.
Yeah.
I'm no idiot. If I'm going to do a book event, bring John Hamm back to St. Louis.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
All right, the book is called Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV. So many more questions for the great Joe Buck in studio with us right now on the Kevin O'Bean Show. A quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. We're delighted that our friend Joe Buck is back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, author of the new best-selling book. And by the way, if you go to Amazon right now, it'll say bestseller right over the title, Lucky
Hell
Bastard.
Hell yeah.
So it's out there. Joe, you've called 19 World Series now? 19
yes.
World Series?
Yes.
And in cities like Boston and most recently Chicago, where
yeah,
yours
they
was...
They want to kill
the,
me.
No, no. Yours was the voice, though, that they had been waiting for so long to hear say, this team is now the world champion. I would imagine you go to Boston and Chicago now, you never have to buy another beer.
Well, you would think, but it just doesn't work that way.
Really?
Because when you're the national voice, like during the NLCS, I'm doing the Cubs-Dodgers, and obviously a million Dodger fans are listening right now. So going into Game 6 at Wrigley, I had the audacity, according to Cubs fans, to talk too much about how great Clayton Kershaw is. So even though they won this thrilling game, Game 6, and they're going to the World Series for the first time since 1945, at least in my category, the next day it was, how about this jerk on TV talking so much about Clayton Kershaw?
I feel like sports fans are worse that way than any other type of fan.
It's unbelievable.
I really do.
And, you know, and I get it because Dodger fans, you want to hear Vin or you want to hear Charlie, you want to hear their guys do it, and the Cub fans the same. I show up and I'm going.
So no one likes
no
you.
No one likes you. Sucks.
That's not ideal.
It's not ideal at all.
I know they're not your team. You're a Cardinals fan, but
mm-mm. He's a Cardinals homer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I go to bed in my Cardinal PJs every night.
I don't doubt that
helmet
for a
car. Yeah.
But is there as a man who grew as a little boy who grew up loving the sport of baseball? How big a thrill is it to be able to call the Cubs winning the World Series for the first time in almost as long as most people have been alive?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. They hadn't been there since 1945. They hadn't won it since before the Titanic went down.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was the highlight of my career. And I have no problem saying that. It doesn't take away from the Red Sox. Yes, I'm from St. Louis. Yeah, I know. But to be able to, that's so much history in that, and how many generations of not just fans but players had come and gone and had never been there, let alone won it. And
but
now
all Cubs fans are required to say the last time we won the World Series, Obama was president. That's the only narrative now.
That's right.
That's it.
Their shtick is over.
You lose the 1904.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Right? They need a whole
it's
new
over.
Thing. Right.
It's like the curse of the Bambino. Bye-bye. You won, and now you got this thing.
Now
it's
you
done.
Don't have a story.
Yeah. You're not so lovable anymore.
You talk about your road to the national broadcasts in the book, Joe, and some of the things that you called play-by-play for before you even got to baseball and football amaze me. You've done a lot of golf, right?
Yeah.
You did motorsports?
I did. Well, if you count Robbie Knievel jumping over limousines in Vegas.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
All right. We count that.
All right. It involves a motor.
Were you, in fact, the man on the mic for bass fishing?
I was. Live bass fishing television.
How
three things that should never be in the same sentence.
Correct. How tough is that
it
gig,
Joe? It was a joke. I don't know anything about fishing at all. I'm not an outdoorsman. I know that's going to shock you. But when I was going into that weekend, the guy from USA Today, Rudy Martsky, said, what qualifies you to broadcast this on national TV? And I said, well, I had a fish tank in college, and he printed it, and it was true. I knew nothing, and I was talking about when the grand payoff in this event is a way off, like, hey,
yeah,
his bass is 6.2. And this guy's bass is six. Johnny wins because his bass is bigger.
Did you have to do the walk of shame back home every time after doing that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, were you just like, my career.
What am I doing?
Now, you were doing bass fishing before the rise of social media.
Before it was cool.
So you probably
Thank
didn't get,
God.
So you probably didn't hear from all the people. But do you suppose there were people on the other side of the TV who were just screaming at you because of the way you were calling?
No,
it?
I think they were asleep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
When I go home during the day, occasionally I'll catch up on TV that I have missed before, and I'll see bass fishing, and I have to watch it for 4 or 5 minutes because I can't believe it's on TV.
But this was live.
That's
those shows are taped.
I
it's
know,
like,
and those
hey,
are terrible.
We can edit the people actually catching fish. Nobody caught
yeah.
a thing
a
for an
downtime.
Hour and a half.
A
Nobody
downtime.
Told the fish they were supposed to bite between 4:30 and 6 Eastern that day.
Well, it prepared you for the speed of baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you?
Kevin.
I'm not a huge huge fan of baseball. I should put that out there, but
yeah, it's slow.
Right, that's my point. That's my
point. I got to do voiceover for King of the Hill, it was Family Guy, and that was the gist of it. Where I'm the announcer guy, and I'm like, and Rodriguez steps off the mound again, virtually assuring my kids will never see me. it is slow. It's something needs to be done.
Yeah.
Fast.
Joe, how tough was it? We got to talk about football for a couple minutes before you leave here. How tough was it when you made that transition? Because you'd been doing baseball, and then you got the opportunity to do football, right? And you really didn't know a lot about football when you got the call, right?
No, I came out here to L.A., and I sat in a studio, and they wheeled a TV in, and I was 24 at the time, about to be 25. And I had practiced with my dad during spring training, and they said, here's all the information. Put on a headset and call the game like you're calling an NFL game. And if that 20 minutes went poorly, no matter who my dad is, despite popular belief, I would not have been hired. If they didn't know my dad anything, and I walked out of there, and they said, we're going to hire you. You need to find an agent. And the guy I did it with, who auditioned, didn't get that conversation.
Oh.
So
did he call you and go, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, he did. We went to breakfast after that, and he's like, man, I hope they're going to hire us. I'm like, yeah, me too. We went to Denny's, though. That's how we were living back then.
I support that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, football is a pretty tough game with a lot of rules and a lot of detail that you got to keep straight.
And there was no Mike Pereira back then.
Yeah, right. You have a guy to go to.
So, and then eventually Troy Aikman and Chris Collinsworth and me, we took over for Pat Summerall and John Madden, which was way more intimidating than going to work for my dad or with my dad.
Right.
It's like, man, what have I gotten into? Then you're going to do a Super Bowl, and you wonder if you can handle stuff like
Amazing.
That.
Amazing.
As a guy that's in the thick of it, you got to know what they're talking about, ratings being down.
Yeah.
Is it because there's too much? You've got Sunday, you've got Monday, you've got Thursday. Do we get rid of Thursday? Or is it because the rules have made it less fun to watch?
I think I honestly believe it's both of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think this year, the election. I mean, I watched more, I scream fights on CNN or Fox News or whatever before I went to bed than I ever have.
Right.
So it affected my viewing. But yeah, there's too many options, too many days of the week. They're never going to give back Thursdays. It's just, it's another revenue stream. But the owners are not going to give that money back. But the early Sunday morning starts with games in London.
Right.
That start, especially out here.
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. is great for football.
6 in the morning. Yeah, who's going to get up?
Not me.
And you've got major teams. The Rams played there. You know, Banger Markets, the Giants played there. The Redskins played there. That's taking big ratings numbers out of the pie.
Yeah.
And you're left with less. So they're going to have to do away with that early morning stuff. But they're not going to give away Thursdays.
There's been a lot of talk about that. There's been a lot of talk about giving away Thursdays, but you're saying no.
It just will not happen. But I do agree with you that there are so many rules, and it's become so litigious with these. And
it's deciphering. It's not fun anymore.
There's a flag on every play.
Yeah, you need Nancy Grace broadcasting.
That's the last thing.
Yeah, we don't
need
her.
We do not need Nancy Grace. That's a terrible
suggestion.
Well,
I'm willing to abdicate to Nancy Grace.
No, thank you.
No.
All right. Well, I am super, super sad to be the bad man to look at the clock and go, we're out of time.
Wait, what's the story?
Let me run the story by you.
Here's the story.
By Joe, real quick.
These two have met before. That's the setup.
We talked at some point. I don't even remember where, but you were calling the World Series, and it was in San Francisco.
Okay.
And I said, hey, I'm going to be in San Francisco. I think we were broadcasting there. So I don't know. So I went up to San Francisco. You gave me your phone number, and I gave you mine. And we went up to San Francisco, and you were calling the World Series. And I thought, to be funny, I don't know, it was inning 5 or 6. I texted you, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Because I thought that would be funny. And then you had said, oh, yeah, we'll get together later and we'll go out and have drinks or something. I was like, okay, cool. Never heard from you again.
Oh, really?
Never again.
But I usually
so
like
that. So I
thought
you didn't find that funny.
No.
That was my interpretation.
Who the hell is this? Had I known it was you.
Hey, what are you doing? I thought, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Send.
I would have gotten back to you for sure. I hate that I didn't.
No, I think you did the right thing.
You did the right thing.
The answer that, in that situation is always you type back, new phone, who dis. That's right. That's how you handle that.
You're right.
All right. The book is outstanding, you guys. It's really, really, really interesting.
Get
what a life
please.
You have. The first half of your life has been very interesting.
I
want
to sell more books than Al Michaels, and I'm not there. And I think this has got a lot of heart in it, this book. So come on.
People. Lucky bastard. My life, my dad, and the things I'm not allowed to say.
Come on, people.
I'll keep Nancy Grace out of the booth.
Okay, good.
Joe, thanks for coming by, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Got another trip for you to Madison Square Garden in New York City to see 21 Pilots later on today. And Keegan-Michael Key will be joining us as well from Key and Peele in the new film called Don't Think Twice. You guys were surprised, I think, by my reaction to this story.
Sadly, I wasn't.
Look. He shouldn't have done it. It's a bad thing. He's a bad man.
Yes, done.
But
nope.
When you're 90 years old
and
you get arrested for touching it in public, it's kind of funny.
Now, you didn't even say funny, though. Yesterday you said adorable.
There's something about the fact that a 90-year-old man would do something like this is kind of adorable, a little bit.
You are twisted.
You're twisted.
No.
You are twisted. He's revealing himself at a pool.
At a public
where
pool.
There are children around saying, ooh,
well,
I just like
that.
To look at the pretty ladies. And he's
around.
Touching himself. That is a violation. That is disgusting.
I said he was a bad man. But
you
look,
said it was adorable.
It's adorable because he's 90 years old. This wouldn't even have made the news.
Twisted.
Had this guy been 60 or he'd been 30 or he'd been 15, it wouldn't even have made the news. The fact that he's 90 is what makes it newsworthy and interesting.
So you want to high-five him with your left hand?
I don't want to touch him at all. A 90-year-old Eden Prairie man has been charged after police said he was seen masturbating at an Edina pool. This happened on Tuesday, July 19th. Pool employees told police... Oh, it does say that kids saw him.
Read the article.
How about that?
I didn't read the article. Later identified as 90-year-old Lloyd Carrudy exposing himself at the pool. He was arrested and admitting to touching himself while watching pretty ladies at the
in quotes,
pool.
Pretty ladies.
Kevin, do you want to hear the best thing that the police found out about Mr. Rudy once they searched him?
Well, they did search him, and they found his bag, and in his bag they found 3 vibrating dildos.
Adorable.
He's 90, and he still has it going on.
Yeah, I'm sure this is the first time he's done it, too.
I
just
don't
at
know.
90, you decide to do
Let's
it.
Let's not talk about
Come
past
on.
The past. That's not as funny. This is meant to be funny.
All right. Well, we asked the producer, Dave, if there's any chance. Perhaps there's another side to the story. Perhaps we're all just jumping to conclusions.
Right.
That could be it.
We don't know, man. Let's find out. We have Mr. Lloyd Carrudy on the line with us from Minnesota. He is 90, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you for having an open mind about things.
Well, I was surprised by your age that you would still be doing something like this, particularly
right?
in public.
Exactly. They should give me a medal.
Well, I mean, it was a public pool. There were kids around.
I know, but what kind of responsible parent leaves their child out at that time of night?
It was during the day at 3 p.m.
Yeah, it was
exactly.
A little before.
That's my point. I'm already eating dinner by then. Man, it's bedtime shortly after that.
But, Mr. Rudy,
yes.
Look, you've lived long enough to know that there are some things that are unacceptable to do in public. That's private time. What you were doing outside, you should be doing inside.
Yes, well, turns out there are less scantily clad women in my home.
Right,
than there
okay.
are at the pool.
But, has anyone introduced you to the internet?
The what now?
Okay.
You can find lots of pretty ladies' pictures and videos on a computer, sir.
That sounds like the devil's work to me.
Well,
and they're okay with you seeing them like that.
Hey,
they put
any
their
you
pictures.
Guys want a dildo?
Yeah.
I got some in my bag.
Let's talk about that. Why is 2 vibrating dildos not enough? You got to go with 3.
Okay, let me see what I have.
Right.
Anybody want one?
No.
Black Mamba, that's a good one.
We're not interested in any of these at all.
Oh, look at this. I just got new batteries for this one.
Okay.
This one's called the Punisher.
Okay. That sounds unpleasant.
Hey, the Turbo Blast 3000 just came in.
Yeah.
Sir, you are 90.
Yes, I am. How old are you?
Oh, dear. Oh, goodness.
You sound like a pretty lady.
Oh, no.
She is a pretty lady.
Oh.
I know. I am But hideous.
Oh, I'd bring out my new one for you.
What's your new one?
The anaconda.
Oh, dear.
All right, this concerns me.
You restless snake. You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah, unfortunately, I'm scared. We do.
A snake, I mean my wiener.
Rope.
We got it.
We got it.
Thank you.
Listen, Mr. Rudy, you
this
face up.
On?
What? Yes, it is
on,
yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your talking with comedy.
Please,
Bean, go on and be creepy for everyone.
I'm not
I'll
being
just
creepy.
Sit back.
Do you have any?
Sorry, I didn't realize this was the death radio death hour.
Every hour here is the radio death hour.
You ain't lying, kiddo.
Do you have any other dildos in your bag?
Nope, I'm all out.
Okay, good.
1 hour from right now, our own beer mug could knock on your door with a new car, a 2016 Honda Civic XL, and also 21 Pilots coming to your house for a private performance. We gave away the qualifying prizes all last week, and today's the day we unveil the grand prize just after 7 this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Let's talk to our new friend Sean Welby, shall we?
Oh, I love Sean so much.
Good morning, Sean.
Hello. Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're very good, thank you.
Oftentimes, you're doing the weather in Britain, and you don't expect you're going to become a worldwide celebrity from it, but you have figured out a way to make me care about the weather in Britain, Sean. Well done, you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I definitely never expected it to be this global. It's been surreal.
How long have you been on Channel 5 there in the UK?
Nearly 6 years now.
Oh, my. And how long ago did you start doing the thing that made you famous, which is working pop culture references into your forecast?
Well, to be honest, I've always been doing silly little dares all the time, but it started off as one or two words. I used to get Twitter followers to give me a word to sneak in on a Friday. I just used to use the hashtag DareSean on a Friday, and we'd get, you know, they might give me a weird word like banana or ninja or, I don't know, catapult or anything. And I used to just try and get the odd word in, and then it became sort of like song lyrics and maybe the odd TV show or, you know, I did one that's got a few Breaking Bad references in and stuff like that. And then it just evolved. And then, of course, the big one I did was Star Wars. And that's when I realized, wow, people really love this.
People really do. Now,
we have the level of the Star Wars.
Oh, great. Yes. Yeah.
This is you working in all kinds of puns. Based on Star Wars.
Hi there. Well, it's another unusually mild day today with a layer of cloud covering the UK. But if you look farther west, you will be seeing a glimmer of sunshine if you're lucky. However, there will be a fairly light breeze. The force is strong, though, for northern Scotland. And then tonight, the weather strikes back as a deep area of low pressure pushes in from the west, creating storm-like conditions for Northern Ireland and western Scotland. Don't be a trooper. Please take care on the roads. Could be difficult driving conditions. Now,
And Sean, that's the one that you went all in on, and really just before airtime, I understand.
Yeah, it was one where I suddenly realized it was the UK premiere, and I was only reminded because somebody needed to use the studio straight after the weather. So it made me think, I should really do a Star Wars tribute, seeing it's got so many fans, it's such a big film. And so literally 10 minutes before I went to air, I thought of as many references as I could. I had people in the gallery studio shouting, like, you know, you've got to say Stormtrooper or you've got to get Wookiee. And I was just weaving it into my forecast I'd already written. And I found that for some weird reason, it's really easy to do puns in weather forecasts. It's like they were meant to go together.
So you don't usually write out a weather forecast, do you? Isn't it just kind of live off the top of your head looking at the maps?
It's a mixture. I normally get sort of all my data in the morning, and then I turn it into a script that I sort of hand write, and I use just before I go on. I normally have a glance at it and get the weather in my mind, and then most of it is by looking at the charts and sort of ad-libbing the rest.
Because I think one of the reasons it works so well is it's effortless the way you do it. It doesn't seem forced at all. It just comes across so effortless. How did it even become that way?
I think because of having to sneak them in before. I think I've always tried to, you know, I didn't want my bosses to catch wind of what I'm doing. So for a while, I was trying to do it so subtle, just so that if anyone ever pulled me up on anything, I'd be like, what? I didn't do anything. So I think it's from sneaking them in for so long that actually I've got a real knack of making them sort of fit in and blend in quite well.
I wanted to bring up your bosses. Did they ever call you into the office and say, what are you doing here? What's happening? Why are you doing this?
I had a few people said, you know, sort of raised an eyebrow when the forecast was played out and said, did she say that? But, you know, it's all over and done in 40 seconds or 60 seconds, and then it was gone. So it was only when the first time I tried it was we had like a Back to the Future Day, which I'm sure you did in the US as well.
Yep.
And it's one of my favorite films. And I did say to them, we were doing a news special anyway. So I said to them, oh, you know, can I really drop a load into the forecast? And they were a bit hesitant, and they made me record a different version just in case they didn't dare put it on air.
Oh.
So I'd recorded a one full of puns and then one that had nothing in it, and they played the one with puns in it. It went down really well with my followers and Channel 5. And then from then, they've kind of been waiting for me to do another one. And especially after Star Wars, they were like, right, you can do whatever you want. It's fine.
This is the voice of Sean Welby here on The Kevin Bean Show. She's a TV host. She does the weather for Channel 5 in the UK. And we fell in love with her all over again just last week with her Ghostbusters weather forecast. I think we have some of that as well.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. So I'm afraid you'll need your parka this afternoon with scattered showers expected in between the odd ray of sunshine. Clouds will stay puffed today, so in the heavy downpours of rain, don't cross the streams or rivers unless it's safe to do so, as there could be some local flooding on the roads. If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? The Met Office. Now, as you'll be pleased to hear, a lot of the showers goes away tonight, but keep hold of your wig. The winds pick up in the west, and tomorrow morning you'll have to figure out whether or not to wear your wellies as you weave around those puddles like a pro. Tons of heavy showers may halt many of your outdoor plans, so you might want to do something indoors until this bad weather goes away. But don't worry, you'll be happy to know we've got a brighter start on Wednesday in the east.
You know what I love about that is that if people don't know you're doing it,
No idea.
Because you do it so effortlessly that it's just they probably most people miss it, I would imagine.
Well, this is what I hope, in a way. It's nice that it does its job. Like, you would get your forecast. It's accurate. Mm-hmm. So it's still giving you some facts. But I like the fact that, you know, a true fan might pick up one or two. A real fan will pick up the really subtle ones. And I always make sure that I do a few. You know, really, I don't want to say geeky, but I suppose it is in a way. Like, I like to fit the ones in that the true hardcore fans will spot. And that's quite fun because then it makes it difficult for the average listener. It might totally go over someone's head who doesn't have a clue what I'm on about. And then for the real fans, it's like a bit of a hunt for the puns. And in that one, there were 22.
22, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time here, Sean, but I have to ask.
Okay.
Anytime you're in media, on radio or on television, there is some viewer or listener out there who complains. Has there been anyone who is so into the weather that they feel like you are disrespecting it and they're writing angry notes to your
boss?
Who's
that much into the weather?
I'm very, very lucky. I've said this before, that I actually did think there'd be a backlash from somebody, whether it would be fans of the movie or, viewers saying, you know, what has happened? Is Sean okay? She's speaking in gibberish. but I've been so overwhelmed, actually, with the positive reaction.
Wonderful.
From, I would say, 99% of everyone. So it's just been lovely, really. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, we really enjoy it here, and we have the video for folks who haven't seen Sean's work. We have it on KROQ.com and the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Do you have any idea what the next one's going to be, Sean?
Well, I've had a few requests. A lot of people want me to do Game of Thrones or Suicide Squad. That movie's coming out in August.
Oh.
So we'll have to wait and see. It's just one of those things that when it feels right, I'll do it.
All of a sudden, a lot of pressure.
Right?
That's right.
Yes, a lot of pressure.
Now the bosses are calling you in and going, what's next? We got to get to the next one.
Well, yes, please keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful, Sean. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
No, thank you so much for having me on the show. This has been so awesome for me. This is cool.
Thank you. We had fun. Here's the headline now. African dictator eats the testicles of enemies to gain mysterious sexual powers.
That was a weird segue.
Yes, it was. There's really no way to segue into a guy who's a cannibal. That just doesn't seem to. An upcoming trial has thrown light on a terrifying Central African dictator who apparently buries his enemies minus their testicles, which he has eaten to gain mysterious sexual powers.
So he gains
power just from that body part alone.
Yes.
Okay.
The people there consider him the country's god.
Okay.
And he is in permanent contact with the Almighty.
Well.
And the regime has been accused of political murders. And more luridly, I'm going to try the guy's name. It isn't possible I'm going to get it right, but this is the dictator's name. Mm-hmm. Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasabo. Go.
You added a couple consonants and vowels.
I don't know. It's a difficult name.
Yeah.
Let's go to him on the phone. We're lucky enough to have him on the phone right now, and maybe he can correct me on the name.
Good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Would you mind pronouncing your name for us? I don't think I did it right.
No, that was perfect. You're absolutely spot on.
Oh, excellent.
No, it wasn't. I'm kidding.
Okay.
Oh. It was all for you.
Okay. How do you say it, sir?
Teodoro. Mm-hmm. Obiang.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nguema.
Uh-huh.
Mbasogo.
Okay.
Yeah, that was way different.
Yeah, not
different.
Not even what you said. A little.
Yeah, not even a little bit.
You need to eat some brains of your enemies, and then you'll be smarter, man. If you ingest their brains, and that brain have the power of them.
If I could, I would, because I could use that. Yeah.
So is that the thing? You eat the part of the body that you want to gain the powers from. So brain, you get smarter.
That is the way it works.
Okay.
I kill my enemies, and then I take in their flesh of whatever part of the power I want to have.
Okay.
So if I want to have the smarts of the enemy, I eat the brain.
Right.
If I want to have the courage of the enemy, I eat the heart.
Okay. Makes
sense. If I want to have a bowler of the enemy, I eat the testicles.
Now, this article pretty much is focusing just on eating of the testicles. I mean,
no, that's the problem with the lamestream media. They're always focusing on sensationalism.
Well, I mean, do
it's
you
all
eat
clickbait? That's all clickbait.
Okay.
They completely ignore that I eat brains and hearts and livers and things.
Okay.
Always the testicles.
Right.
Well, I mean, that is the most sensationalistic part of the story.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Right. Thanks, Bill O'Reilly.
Okay. Wow, you're very knowledgeable in the American media.
I've eaten a lot of brains, I told you. Why didn't I tell you I was smart? I told you I ate brains.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
So by... Oh.
No.
What are you eating?
What's that now?
Oh, it's not important.
Well, I mean, if you're... Is it part of a body of a rival?
Maybe.
Because I feel like that's important.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Okay, let's say it is.
I mean, it sounds crunchy.
It's crunchy.
So can we guess? Like...
It's not important. Let's just call it Steve.
Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Yes. Steve is very crunchy.
Yes, well, I like them raw.
I see.
You don't want to poach the testicles. It takes all the flavor out of
it. So those were Steve's testicles?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not.
All right, now, how quickly do you feel the effect of eating the testicles?
Oh, my goodness!
Oh.
Very
that quick?
That's very quick.
It is, Steve.
It's like a shot of adrenaline.
A few days ago on the Showbiz Beat, Ralph brought us a story about a wax museum, I want to say, in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that after 60 years or something is getting ready to close down and sell off the wax figures of the presidents.
Because they suck.
Because they're awesome.
Right, but they're selling them and they're closing down because they're awesome.
Yes,
too
that
many
was my
people
take.
Coming.
That was my
take.
It was too popular.
That's right,
Kevin.
That's good.
You can't keep a
that's
business good. Open if too many people come.
That's a solid so, read on that one.
So two things. One is I am already making my plans to fly to Gettysburg to be there for the auction, and I plan to buy myself a president.
Bean, for those of you that don't know, is obsessed with many things. One of them is the presidents. Yeah,
he
loves every president. He can tell you everything about any president in history. It's crazy.
So Ralph brought up, hey, what about President Johnson? He's got to be your favorite. And the reason he said that is he was referencing a piece of tape that we used to play a lot on this show that we found out at that time Allie had never heard. All the years that you were a listener of the Kevin and Bean Show, you never heard us talk about the legendary President Lyndon Johnson tape.
No.
From 1964, he's on the phone and he's ordering some pants. All right. Now, I have many questions about this tape. Like, doesn't the President of the United States, I don't know, we're in Vietnam at this point. Doesn't he have someone who can handle their pants
right?
for him? Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think so. But in fact, because they record all the phone calls in the White House Oval Office, we actually have a recording of it, and it's pretty great.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Hager?
Yes, it's Joe Hager.
Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
You all made me some real lightweight slacks that he just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown.
Hold on.
And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. I want a couple, maybe 3 of the light brown, kind of a almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face. Then there was some green, and then maybe some other light pair if you had a blue in that. Or
he's really taking his time.
He really is.
Giving him the specific details of this order. Again,
this guy
nobody...
cold called him, too. He just sent him just out of the blue to the White House.
Yes.
And it worked.
Yes.
So
black. I'd have one blue and one black. I need about 6 pairs to wear around in the evening when I come in from work. I want them 1/2 inch larger in the waist than they were before, except I want 2 or 3 inches of stuff left back in there so I can take them up. I vary 10 to 15 pounds a month.
Same. By the way, I was very surprised for 1964 that you have a guy who's on the phone giving these kind of directions to somebody. It didn't seem like a guy would know about, you know, making them bigger and letting them in, letting them out and stuff like that.
I mean, a guy knows that his pants are tight.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I mean, how's that for planning ahead, by the way?
I plan on eating a lot, so.
Right. Holidays coming up.
Yeah, rather than saying, all right, this is the size, I'm just going to work real hard to fit into it. He's like, I want a little cheating room back there.
Hey, but you're all-
so leave me at least 2.5 to 3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up. And make these 1/2 inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least 1 inch longer.
Right.
My money and my knife, everything fall out. Wait just a minute. Another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang.
Okay, right. Now we're starting to get good here. We just went from the president looking for a spot to keep his knife. Now he's got some very specific details for the Hagar Pants Company about what's going on downstairs.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang. It's always a little too tight.
Now, by the way, right? If you're the guy on the other end of the phone, right? How are you not cracking up right now?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not talking to the president.
No.
Somebody's prank calling me. Something's going on. There's no way that the president of the United States is talking about his nuts.
I wish the guy was like, go on.
So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence. These are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States.
I love that they
except
cut
them cutting,
like right the wire
where my
fence,
nuts
man. So he not only needs a little extra room in the back for when he eats too much, he needs a little extra room in the front for when, you know, who knows what kind of excitement is happening there where he needs a room to expand a little bit.
Sure.
But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper is. Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yep.
You could hear the burp coming.
That.
You could hear it was coming. He was fighting it.
He was fighting it for like 2 sentences.
Then he just gave in.
An inch from where the zipper ends, round under my, back to my bunghole.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we now have presidential bunghole, too. So, I think he ticked all the boxes, right?
I think so.
Covered all the bases.
Oh,
so that's a little
God.
Bit of that famous tape from August 9th, 1964. Now, Allie, you've never heard that before, right?
It is phenomenal.
It's pretty great. There's one other piece of famous Lyndon Baines Johnson tape that I think we also maybe need to close with.
Oh, yeah.
On ladies' face.
Oh.
Longer.
Oh, God.
Down where your nuts hang.
What?
Round under my back of my bunghole.
Oh, smell it.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Allie.
No.
No.
By the way, by the way, there's something up at Allie, can you not listen for a second? You know, step out or anything? Or just
what?
For a second.
Oh, she saw it. She saw it yesterday.
KROQ.com, you go to Allie McKay's Moaning Mashup Fun.
I don't think
And you can hear all of the mashups, and then there's also the original so that you, the KROQ listener, can make your own mashups.
No!
Yes, you can download it. You just click on the little download button, and then you have it.
Maybe they don't need to make their own.
So go to KROQ.com for that, and happy holidays.
Tuesday morning, right here on the Kevin Bean Show, the band Empire of the Sun is going to be making their return visit, this time to premiere a brand new single. That's going to be fun. That'll be Tuesday. And then, of course, in less than 2 weeks, our Breakfast with Sting is happening in the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. And he will also be world premiering a brand new song, sung live right in front of you. That's going to be a great morning, Allie.
That's huge.
Got more tickets you can win coming up, so keep on listening. All right. Unusual ways you met your significant other. This is an almost hard to believe article.
It's insane. And I
Here's what happened. It happened sometime back. The couple, spoiler alert, they fall in love and get married and they're still together. But listen to the way they met. A young lady named Donna Roberts had apparently an ugly breakup. At least her ex wasn't a fan of Donna Roberts after they broke up. So he decided to write on a bathroom wall in Britain, "If you want a good shag, call Donna on," and put her phone number. Now, if you're Donna and that happens, as soon as those calls start coming in from that bathroom, you got to just change your number, I would think, right?
I'm wondering how many calls come in, though, because how many people are going to be like, let me try it? I don't think many.
Yeah,
we do know one.
You're probably right about that. Yeah, she does get a text from one guy, and it's a man named Mark Ellis who texts her and says, "Hi, what are you up to? I was curious to know if this was a real human being." Now, why would Donna, who I'm sure at that point said, who is this and how did you get my number? And then he says, "Well, I found it on a bathroom wall at a truck stop." How does she then continue to have a conversation with this guy? Because in her mind, you have to think she figures he's either trolling her or is expecting sex from her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that relationship even develop?
You know, I feel like Mark's really good at texting.
He must be. Because think about this. He sees her number on a bathroom stall. He texts her. Fast forward to today. They are still married and have two children together, age 8 and 9.
Unreal.
So this was 10 years ago
this
happened, and they're still together. Like, how does anyone meet anyone in that way?
It's incredible. But you know what? Here's the thing. If somebody texted me randomly and said, "Oh, I saw your number on a bathroom wall," I'd want to know, A, where's that bathroom wall? What are you I'd want to get to the bottom of it. So I would engage at that point.
Right.
But anything
Do you agree to meet with the
dude? Absolutely not. But Mark's got some texting skills, apparently.
Apparently he does.
Yeah.
After she was, of course, at first perplexed. She's a legal secretary, by the way. She found out how Ellis had found her number. Then they struck up a conversation. And a few days later, they met, then started dating, then fell in love, then married. And here we are, two kids later. So the topic on the table today is, what unusual way did you meet your significant other? How did it come to pass? I mean, there's lots of stories like this. I don't know that there's anything as strange as this one in terms of the likelihood that this is going to develop into a real life relationship. But maybe you've got a crazy way. Maybe you met, you flirted on the freeway. You're driving.
Christine said she's going to a wedding of two people that were flirting back and forth in their cars. And then they kind of made the move over type of motion. They pulled off, met each other, and exchange numbers, and now she's going to their wedding.
No way.
Yes. It's insane.
Okay.
That's crazy.
How did you meet your significant other? What was the crazy way that you wacky kids found love? That's what we're talking about right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. People can't believe it when you tell the story of how you met. We want to hear about it next on K-Rock. Thank you, Fitz. Thank you, Noel. Thanks to all the tantrums. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, talking about the strange way that you met your significant other. We just did a story out of England about a couple that met because her name was scrawled on a bathroom wall by an ex-boyfriend, and a guy texted her. They got to talking, then meeting, then dating, then marrying. They've been together 10 years, and they have two kids. I don't think that happens very often in that situation.
No.
So we're finding out from you at 1-800-520-1067. What's the crazy way that you two kids got together? Why don't we start with Tyler? Give me some Tyler in L.A., please. Chip, he is on line 4, and he's up first on the Kevin Mitchell. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What happened?
So basically, a few years ago, let's cut back to a few years ago, I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we went to our friend's birthday party, and there was a photo booth. And at the photo booth was this gorgeous little girl, and we started all kind of taking pictures together, and I didn't really think anything of it. And, you know, I break up, or my girlfriend at the time, we break up. And years down the line, I meet this girl at a bar, we're hanging out, and I go to her house, and I see there's a picture of me on her fridge for at least, like, 2 years. And it was so bizarre. I was like, are you stalking me, or what's going on? But no narcissist. But now we have a beautiful 7-month-old boy named Nova,
and we've been together for about 2 years. It was super, super random, but
okay.
Yeah,
let me make sure I understand this correctly. You named your son Nova?
Oh, that's not
yes,
the point.
Sir. Yes, sir.
You just love Chevys?
Sorry?
You just love Chevys?
Love Chevys. Love Chevys in the stars.
Okay. It is interesting that you go to this girl's house for the first time ever, and she's got a photo of you. I mean, it does seem like there's a little bit of fate going on there, it sounds like.
Yes, it was funny. I had to call my mom. I'm like, Mom, is this a good thing or a bad thing? There's a picture of me on her fridge. What do I do?
I like it. All right, Tyler, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Nick. He's in Los Angeles. If his story is true, he's going to be the envy of many, many listeners right now who have always wanted to grow up and do this. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hi, how's it going? So I know my friends are listening and probably some other people listening. The story is out there. Everyone knows. But it was 2005. I was an 18-year-old senior in high school on my way out, and I started making friends with a brand-new first-year 24-year-old teacher. Needless to say, we started dating, and we've been married 8 years. We've been together about 11 years. We have 3 kids together.
Was she ever your teacher?
She was not my teacher. She was a teacher. However, I was an athlete, and she helped out with the team, and I'm not going to be real specific on that. But, you know, we started working out together, and you know, one thing led to another.
Did you start dating her in high school?
I'm sorry?
You were dating her while you were still in high school?
Yes, it was probably a couple months before graduation. I was on my
way out. Oh, dear.
But he was 18, and, Allie. He was 18.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so here's the other trippy part.
There's
now,
more?
No, well, ironically, I've been a police officer for 8 years now. So I know at the time no laws were broken. Maybe some school policy, but no laws.
Just
were
some
broken.
Huge ethical issues. Other than
right.
that.
But, look. You know, I think about this, I won't say often, but it does cross my mind.
Oh, no.
No, that a teacher can come into a high school and be, as in this case, not that much older than the kid that she is teaching. And I'm not surprised when there is attraction. It's just very rare that it ends up in marriage.
The thing with me, though, I've always looked really older than what I am. So I've always hung out with older people. So I guess there was that attraction.
All right, but, last question for you, Nick. What did you think about that dude who named his kid Nova?
Well, I personally like Ford, so.
Okay, all right, so not for you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right,
his wife's name is Festiva.
You're going to love this, Allie.
Yeah.
Ivan in Huntington Beach. Think about this as you reflect on all the years you worked in morning news television. Mm-hmm. Ivan, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, how's it going? So I'm living in New Mexico at the time. And long story short, a disgruntled neighbor, tried to break into my house, with a knife. I ended up shooting him.
And then so, he recovered and you two got married when it was legal?
I don't think that's where he's going.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No,
go
no.
on.
No. So 2 days later, this super beautiful news reporter shows up at my house to do a news story on it. And she's really cute and smart, and we ended up being liking each other, and we're dating for 8 months now, and we both moved back to California together.
How about this? So she goes out to cover a guy in the news who shot a dude, and you guys ended up dating. How about that?
Yeah, she asked for an interview. I asked for a date, and I didn't give her the interview, but I got a date out of it.
Well done, Ivan.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Allie, did you ever date anyone that you met while covering a story? Yeah,
I did. I dated someone for 2 years. They were doing a firefighter auction, and we met at something I was covering for the auction and dated him for 2 years.
Well, no one can blame you in that case. I mean, come on, firefighter auction. Let's try Will in Los Angeles. He's line five. Now, this is going to be interesting. This is going to give hope to people who spend time crafting that opening line when you meet that significant other, that person you hope to date. Let's find out how it worked out for Will. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is me, Will. I was calling because I met my ex-wife on a Saturday night after drinking very, very heavily, smoking a lot of weed. And we go to the club, me and my guy, as we normally do, and roll in, and we're partying, and all of a sudden, the music stops, the spotlight comes down, and there's this girl on the dance floor standing in front of me, beautiful. And I just start walking towards her. As I get close up to her, I look her straight in her eyes. She's looking me straight in my eyes. I say, hey, I'm going to marry you, and you're going to have my baby. And her reply to me was, I'll have your baby. And we started making out on the dance floor. And now we have two kids, and I'm divorced. So it doesn't always work out the best. So.
That story had a great ending.
That was an emotional roller coaster.
It really was. So I have to ask, Will, was that a line that you just used all the time with girls and it just happened to work out that time? Or was there something significant and special about that night, that girl?
Absolutely not. I've never used that line before. At that particular point, I had millions of lines because it was a club thing, which is what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what it was about that woman and what it was about her specifically, but it was like a movie. Like, literally, there was a spotlight that came down, the crowd parted. Like, it was literally a movie.
Well, not literally.
Well, with a very unhappy ending.
With a very unhappy ending, right. Boy,
well,
the first...
No, it wasn't a super unhappy ending because I do have two great kids who are tremendously out of it. But, yeah, her and I are not friends.
Just I got you.
I mean,
that's all right.
I wouldn't want to see her hit by a bus because she's my kid's mom. But
okay, it just got weird.
All right, well.
It just got weird. All right, we were with you right up until that. All right, thank you for the call. So the moral of the story is what? I guess keep your eyes open. You never know. You can meet people anywhere, I guess, these days. All right, thanks, guys.